Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
You're welcoming Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Seth Frantzman for the Jerusalem Post. The Gaza war primary, given the moving story now of the war perhaps widening, the Houthi incident. But we begin with the headlines. Israel-Hamas war day 59. IDF, quote, close to completing, end quote, northern Gaza operations. U.S. delegation to visit Israel in these last hours. Seth, a very good evening to you. I begin with the question of the geography. Close to completing northern Gaza operations. What does that mean? Good evening to you, Seth.
Good evening. Well, it should mean that the IDF divisions are going to be able to push into Gaza City itself. The IDF has surrounded Gaza City throughout, you know, a month of ground operations, and then, you know, but nevertheless, there's a city that you have to conquer that includes the densest part, I think, of the old city. So we heard in the last day or so the IDF took out several more key commanders in this areas of Sujaya, and one of the guys was from the Shati Brigade. So, you know, they're basically taking apart piece by piece some of the Hamas units that remain surrounded. I guess the question is whether or not the IDF will say that they concluded operations and never took part of Gaza City by basically saying we don't need to take it because it's cut off and it's contained, and Hamas is degraded to such an extent that we can kind of just leave it there, like MacArthur's island hopping campaign right in the Pacific, where he said, well, we just don't need to take these places. Let's just go around them. You know, maybe they'll, because it's a bit of terminology here, right? So maybe they'll say, okay, that's done. Now we're going into Khan Yunis and we're going to go in there and take out, you know, the Hamas infrastructure there. I assume that's kind of what they mean.
Khan Yunis is south of Gaza City, and that is a very large settlement with civilians still inside. Is that correct, Seth?
Well, about 1 million people have left northern Gaza, and, you know, the IDF is kind of has a whole armor brigade or armor division sitting across in the center of the strip, cutting it in half. So 1 million people left the north. Those people went to the south. There's probably 100,000 or 200,000 left in the north. Now those 1 million people have been told to go to a safe area somewhere in the south. There's, you know, the UAE has a field hospital. There's stuff going on there. There's aid. But Khan Yunis is a populated area. It's actually where Yahya Sinwar is from, the Hamas leader of Gaza. So the Hamas key commanders and probably some of the hostages are somewhere there. And, you know, they're going to want to hold on to that. I've always said that Sinwar is worthwhile to compare him to a Pablo Escobar type. When he goes to ground, he'll want to go to ground in Khan Yunis, just like Escobar was killed in Medellin. I do hope that they get him in hiding in the same way. But then, at the end of the day, I guess my point is that he's going to want to keep the civilians there around him, and he's going to want to fight to the last there. And we don't know what the IDF strategy will be in terms of how that works. I mean, the IDF has been kind of cautious and pragmatic and you know, trying to use all the technology they have to go street by street and not get chewed up in those battles.
I welcome Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host. We begin, however, with noting the possibility of a wider war. The Houthis, associated with Yemen and the Yemen civil war of many years, are boasting for quite some time that they have anti-ship missiles. Now, the deployment of anti-ship missiles is obvious because they've fired not once but several times at commercial ships. I believe there were strikes. And at the U.S. Navy, the USS Kearney, an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer with anti-air defenses. Bill, the question here is, does the U.S. plan to respond to attacks on the U.S. Navy? You have a statement from CENTCOM. Can you read the relevant part, Bill? Thank you.
Yeah, John, yes, and good evening. I'm going to read the part addressing your final question. And this is the last sentence of a CENTCOM press release that details multiple attacks on three different ships, as well as what appears to be a direct attack multiple times, three different times on the USS Kearney. This is how the CENTCOM completes its description of this. The United States will consider all appropriate responses in full coordination with its international allies and partners. So there's been numerous attacks, not just yesterday, where there were multiple attacks, but since Israel or since Hamas launched this war on Israel, there's been numerous attacks on USS on U.S. Navy destroyers, on other shipping. There's been hijacking of a ship. Anti-ship ballistic missile was fired, what I believe to be at a U.S. warship. You know, I wonder what this administration is waiting for. And the answer to that is, it's fearful of this conflict expanding. And this is the sentence that preceded what I just read. It said, we also have every reason to believe that these attacks, while launched by the Houthis in Yemen, are fully enabled by Iran. So the U.S. Central Command is identifying Iran as enabling these attacks, but the U.S. government doesn't want this war to expand beyond Gaza, right? It doesn't want additional attacks in Iraq and Syria, which are happening anyway. It doesn't want additional Houthi attacks, which are happening anyway. And if the U.S. government won't call out Iran, ironically, CENTCOM is creating all kinds of problems within the U.S. military.
Seth, I come to you on this. Is that significant to you that CENTCOM is saying Iran? Iran is Hamas, Iran is Hezbollah, Iran is the West Bank, Iran is the Houthis. Is that going to move the story, Seth, in your measure?
Well, look, I mean, it's important that CENTCOM is saying it. CENTCOM has a history of sometimes making a little bit of its own policy or kind of saying things that it thinks. I mean, things that they're always true, but going beyond what the diplomats would like to do, which the diplomats tend to, you know, not always like to call things out because then it would force America's hand a bit. So CENTCOM has a bit of a history of this. So it's a bit of messaging to Washington, I think, that, they, you know, CENTCOM's getting a bit tired of watching their ships, you know, running around in circles being fired at. But in the end of the day, you know, for the U.S. to start carrying out airstrikes in Yemen, it's just the opposite of what the U.S. and this administration kind of has wanted to do, which is there's no appetite for any more, you know, America in the Middle East. America wants to have a very light footprint and work, you know, quote, by, with, and through its partners and everyone else. So, you know, if I'm sure if Israel or someone else wanted to do things in Yemen, people would probably say that's fine. The Saudis probably would be a bit nonplussed. I think there's a lot of moving pieces here. But again, I think it certainly seems like appeasement to allow ships to be attacked day after day. America's policy for, 200 years or something has been all about international trade routes and the freedom of the seas, right? I mean, isn't that why America ostensibly got in the First World War? Isn't that a policy going back, you know, into the 19th century or something? So, you know, allowing this group in Yemen to attack commercial ships and U.S. warships, I think, is a serious escalation. In the past, I think America would have done something, but I think we're at a point where you attack people enough, and then it becomes normal, like in Iraq and Syria. 76 attacks and only, what, 4 or 5 responses? So it's a problem.
Yes, to the shores of Tripoli. That's about keeping the sea lanes right. Open in the beginning of the 19th century. Bill, you have a question for Seth.
Yes, Seth, I want to turn back to Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza. Can Israel live with a degraded Hamas in the Gaza Strip? Isn't this a dumbing down of Israel's objective to defeat Hamas?
Well, it's a problem. I mean, I think it's the opposite of mission creep, which I guess would be mission shrinkage, which is that after the Hamas unprecedented attack in which 1,200 people were murdered and 240 taken hostage, the stated policy of Israel's leaders was that there won't be Hamas. Hamas will be destroyed. And then it became Hamas will be defeated. Hamas will be degraded. And then this very Orwellian, well, there won't be a threat from Gaza. And they know you can define that there's not a threat in any number of ways, which is prior to October 7th, Israel's view was that there wasn't a threat from Gaza then either, because that's why Israel had stripped the defenses there. So it's very problematic. I think Israel doesn't want to live with Hamas there. I think the public will not forgive the government for allowing Hamas to remain. Of course, the government also has to deal with the fact that you have a pressure on Israel. You have, international friends of Israel saying, listen, you've got to stop this, or you don't have a lot of time, et cetera, et cetera. And as you've seen, the ground campaign is not the Six-Day War. This is a slow campaign. The military says months or years, and the political echelon says, "Well, we don't have months or years." So it doesn't work that well together. But I can't imagine how they can leave Gaza and allow Sinwar and all the genociders to remain. I think that would be a problem.
We're speaking with Seth Fratzman, Jerusalem Post senior correspondent, about the Gaza war, which is always on the edge of spreading in the whole region. And when we come back, Hezbollah. Bill Rajos, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, is my colleague and co-host. I'm John Battle.